Welcome back to More Than Money and 770 CHQR. These markets are all over the place. We have seen a fast drop. We've seen a little bit of a recovery and then another small drop, and it's going all over the place, and people are concerned. Their portfolios, their retirement, their savings are being impacted. And we're trying to make a big understanding of this mess, and it's very difficult to do so. So you got to bring on some of the smartest minds out there, and we've got Philip Peterson, reoccurring guest. He's also the chief investment strategist for Manulife Investments. Philip, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah, same here. Hope you're doing well, and the family is well and safe out in Toronto. I just wanted to touch base with you on this because it's been a mess. Like, people are just were surprised, shocked. The markets reacted in multiple ways that really surprised. So let's kind of give our listeners, where are we right now when you look at the markets and when you look at what's happening?
Okay, so we need to accept the fact that Canada and the United States and perhaps globally were in a recession or entering into recession. This might not seem like a typical recession where you see two quarters of negative GDP growth. This might not go on for 6 months. It doesn't matter. We're in a recessionary environment nonetheless, and the markets are responding to that. So this sudden stop of economic activity is going to weigh on corporate profitability for a quarter or two. And that's what is being priced in, and that's why the markets are down as they are. This is very, very typical of what you would see during a recession. You get bear markets. And so what I think has been more surprising is the speed at which the markets have fallen and the day-to-day volatility. It hasn't been, you know, 2%, 3%. It's been 6%, 7%, you know, down days met by, you know, 4%, 5% up days. And that, I think, is what has really surprised investors, is just the extreme volatility that we've had in the marketplace, that I think really caught a lot of professionals and you know, everyday investors really off guard.
There's been a few things that have occurred since the pandemic started. Let's go to as far back as January. When we started hearing what's happening in China, the markets didn't take it too hard. They thought it might be a China issue only. It started to spread. People started getting concerned. Lockdowns and shutdowns were happening. So now that spooked the market. But there was a couple things happening in the background, Philip. One was there was, at least to me, a lack of liquidity in the financial market. The piping was getting clogged and money wasn't moving as freely. And in my opinion, this is why the central bankers got involved. What's your take on that whole liquidity issue that we saw not too long ago?
Well, there's a couple of things that happened. I think we can go all the way back to September and talk about the repo markets. This is the overnight financing markets that goes on interbank. And that kind of got gummed up, if you will, if you want to think about it that way. And that was a function more of the Federal Reserve as they were unwinding this quantitative easing that had gone on for years. They had taken capital out of the marketplace or taken liquidity out of the marketplace too fast. And so that's really what it was. And so then they spent the next couple of months trying to fix that. Then we come into 2020. And as you mentioned, yes, you know, we have seen tighter liquidity and the central banks in Canada, in the United States and around the world have thrown everything at the credit markets, financial markets to make sure that there's plenty of liquidity out there. We're talking the dollar swap markets, all of that. And it seems that things have calmed down a little bit since then. And I would argue that we are in a reasonable place as far as global liquidity for the financial markets is concerned.
During that time, a lot of individual investors and maybe even institutional investors assumed that fixed income or bonds would have been a safe haven, and you would actually either see an increase in the value of your bonds or at least a zero rate of return. And we saw in some cases double-digit losses in the fixed income world. So what happened there?
Yeah, it really fascinating. It was immediately while we were seeing what would have been otherwise safe haven assets do well, they were actually selling off. When you start to dig deeper into what was going on, it was actually a function of I would say the financial markets, and financial markets and margin calls, and having to reduce leverage in portfolios, and so liquidating the most liquid asset you had, as opposed to markets saying, "Ooh, I don't like what's going on over here in bonds. I'm just going to start dumping my bonds." It actually wasn't the case, based on my conversations with traders out there. What really happened was, because the equity markets were falling as fast as they were, investors that were using leverage were being faced with margin calls and had to raise cash to cover their position. And so rather than sell the equity that's down 25 to 30%, they would rather sell something that hadn't fallen as much. Gold was the same thing. We saw gold actually sell off early, and it was, again, atypical of what you would expect. And so it was more sellers having to cover their positions than the buyers at the time. Now, since then, we've had a couple things happen. One, it seems that the market is normalized, and two, the Fed has come in to backstop the corporate bond markets, the investment-grade corporate bond markets, and now things have kind of rebounded and resumed their – they were not completely you're not still seeing some negatives in terms of some bond returns, but at least it's better than where we were, say, 2 weeks ago. And this was across the spectrum. We saw U.S. Treasury sell off. We saw investment-grade bonds sell off, high-yield bonds sell off, gold sell off. It was right across. Anything that was a source of cash to cover leverage was utilized that way.
Then the federal governments pretty much around the world came in and said, we're going to do whatever it takes to I call it, prevent economic destruction. They didn't use those words. I have. When you look at what Canada, U.S., and other countries around the world have done, are they just preventing us from going into a Great Depression, or is this considered, quote-unquote, stimulus?
That's a good way to define it. I would say it is preventing us from falling into a Great Depression. We are going to see we're in a recession. When you look at the jobs data, we're absolutely in a recession. And that's going to be the case for the next couple of months. We'll see how long it lasts. And what the government is doing is trying to mitigate the damage of this government-mandated sudden stop. But the bright side to that is, at some point, the government can also say, okay, get back to work and flip the switch. And it won't be all the jobs won't come back online immediately tomorrow, but over a very, in my mind, a fairly short time frame, we'll see a significant recovery of those jobs.
Yeah, and so that's where I think the governments are just coming in to protect it from destruction. I don't like the word stimulus because they're not stimulating anything. They're protecting the bottom. They're kind of giving us a floor. Has the markets priced that in? Has the market said, okay, we've got stimulus and or fiscal stimulus, we're going to get some more most likely, so we can price the market at this level based on that information?
The markets are pricing it in, but I think the markets are still a little too optimistic. And I think we could see, again, this would be typical of what we get in a recessionary bear market. I think we could see a little bit more downside. We did see the bounce off of the 23rd of March, where that was that almost seemed like a near-term low, and markets have come back since then. Question was, oh, is this it? Are we over the hump, and is this the start of the new bear market? It's too early to call that. The markets are liking what they're seeing with respect to the almost $200 billion in support the Canadian government is putting forward, the $2 trillion in financial support that the U.S. government is putting forward. But we will see more of this, and this is just a bridge, right? This is to prevent things from getting really, really bad. And it makes sense. If the government is going to say, Faisal, you can't go to work, it's like, well, okay, you can't earn an income. They're not going to say, and you're on your own. They obviously have to step in and say, while we are telling you that you are unable to earn an income, we're going to cover you.
These types of issues that come up, this type of volatility, sudden shocks, or what we call black swan events, makes you look at your retirement portfolio and say, how do I structure my portfolio so I can still receive income, even though this kind of volatility is happening? And there's some different strategies out there. What we're going to share with you on April 21st is our way of bulletproofing your retirement, talking about asset dedication. And we're going to do that on a live webinar on Tuesday, April 21st, 7 p.m. live online. Now, to register, you have to go to morethanmoneyradio.com. That's morethanmoneyradio.com to register. Coming up after the break, Philip says this market could go down. Could we see another 50% drop? He'll tell you right after the break. You're listening to 770 CHQR and More Than Money.